Hey, what's going on, everybody? Happy Thursday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets, powered by FTN, right here live on our FTN Network YouTube page, as well as Game Plus Network. Always a great lineup. Always super thrilled. I just sit there, I pinch myself. How the heck am I on Game Plus Network and all of our shows from FTN? We're happy with our partnership over at Game Plus Network. As I mentioned, always really a great lineup over there, all in football with Jake Seeley three times a week. You can see the Fantasy Footballers. You can see Pat Mayo, the Mayo Media Network, all over Game Plus Network as well. We're happy to be here with you guys, hanging out live in our FTN Network YouTube channel. Smash the like button. You have any comments, any questions, you can leave them there. We're really going to talk a lot of NFL and a lot of NHL here today as well. We have two great guests. Usual, Brian Cook of FTN, our very own. He's going to drop by. We're going to talk about tonight's Thursday night football game, the Commanders and the Bears. I know what you're thinking. Oh, great. Another primetime stinker. We have a total of like 38 and a half. Both teams have struggled to move the ball offensively. One team doesn't even want to pass the ball in the Chicago Bears, and another team in Washington kind of pass happy to start the season. Carson Wentz has thrown some picks. David Montgomery's looked good in the games that he's played in, and Darnell Mooney's starting to trend up a little bit. We will have some Thursday night football props for you. Cook and I will break down the game preview, take a look at some things that he is looking for, and we'll also take a look at the week six schedule as well, as we always do, highlight a few games that he likes. And then we have Neil Parker on as well. You can catch him over on the Twitter machine at Neil Parker Bets. He is a sports betting analyst with Sportsbook Review, and he's a really, really good friend of mine. And a big part of the reason, a big reason why I'm where I'm at, honestly, in this industry, talking fantasy sports, talking sports betting. Neil and I made a fantasy sports website years ago called Fantasy Sports Locker Room. Shout out Parker, Mike O'Malon, John Collins, Esther McLaren. We rolled with that, and a few of us ended up getting jobs over at Anthem Sports and Entertainment. And here we are today, fast forward, I don't know, 11, 12 years, and we're doing a show together on Game Plus Network. So super excited about that. Neil does some great work. He covers absolutely everything. He's a big Leafs guy, so I won't be too hard on him. But yeah, for him, a little goal Caulfield just for Neil Parker. I got to have my moment, you know, because it's going to be a long season for the Blue Blanc Rouge, and the Buds will be just fine. They're in action again tonight. So Neil and I will break down the 10-game slate in the NHL. We're not going to go over every game. He does have some shot props, some things that he likes. And also, as I mentioned, he's a big football guy as well. So we will highlight a couple picks against the spread, things that he likes. But we will take your start and sit questions if you have any. Now's the time to kind of get them in with Brian, with Neil, myself. I have some NHL props and things like that. A little bit of NHL heavy off the top. Yesterday was a pretty good day. We were stuck the other day on Kevin Fiala, and I just felt awful about it. I mentioned yesterday I really wanted to bounce back, and I think we did in a big way. Threw in 14 goal scorers in our Discord channel. We hit 9 of them. We had a couple same-game parlays towards the end of the night that we cashed. 14-1 in the Avs and Blackhawks game, and it was just a point parlay. We had McKinnon and McCarr for 2 points. We had Lehkonen for a point. And Chuskin for a point, and Rantanen for an assist. And the same thing in Edmonton. That one didn't pay out as nice, but 4-1. Drysdale and McDavid for 2 points. We had Hyman for a point, and we got lucky at the end. You need a little bit of luck to get those parlays. Not going to hit them consistently. But we did have luck on our side last night. We had Evander Kane. We actually had him for an assist, and he passed it off to Connor McDavid, who had a four-point night last night. But the reason I'm saying this, there's still time to be part of the FTN family, ftnbets.com/pricing. You can use the promo code MEANIE, save yourself 20% off. And you're not just going to get my picks, you're going to get everybody's picks, not just in the NHL, across all sports over at FTN. It's October, it's the best sports month out there. We got playoff ball, you know, just unbelievable, right? Postseason ball is just fantastic. And then we have college basketball, you know, around the corner, college football, NFL. NBA tips off next week, and of course the NHL stuff. So tools, projections, Discord, and as you saw on that board, still time to draft fantasy hockey leagues, you know, in Yahoo, ESPN, Fantrax. If you're drafting this week before Monday, this Sunday, October 16th. Your season will begin on Monday, October 17th. So we have rankings, sleepers, busts, breakouts, predictions, future articles, all kinds of goodness. And a lot of people have reached out about just an NHL DFS package, and we didn't have that. I know the first year at FTN we did, and then we grouped it into all the sports. But there's some people out there that just want an NHL DFS package. So we have you covered here as of today, you see. $149.99 for the entire season. You could do monthly if you want, but you could also use the promo code MEANIE and you'll save yourself 20%. That's just going to be about $1.11, roughly $1.10.99. You see the promo at the end, 40% off code for FTN Bets, the package included. We have daily content. Kenneth Lee will write some articles today. Yesterday in our article, we had Arturi Lehkonen with 3 points. We had Seth Jarvis who had a goal. So we have, you know, a few... And just not just analysts over at FTN, the Discord channel is really sharp. You have access to that premium chat. There's a lot of people in there that are having success. I saw some, you know, some green screens yesterday in the Discord channel. It's always a really good conversation of, you know, with the subs and with, you know, us at FTN. It's just, we're a lot of hockey, we're just a big time hockey fans. And we're having conversations left, right, and center, learning a thing or two from subs. And hopefully they learn a thing or two from us as well. So if you're looking, I believe that wraps up October 21st. So you have some time if you're thinking about joining us. But lots of bets here on this show. And I did have some 3 stars that I wanted to go over. Actually, you know what? I'll do it quickly, the 3 stars. I have a list of fantasy hockey waiver wire pickups. Just guys that I notice are widely available. You know, guys that we certainly had in our draft kit, but now is the time to kind of pick them up before they really start to heat up. I'll share that list with Neil in just a little bit. But this 3 stars, Tyler, if you have it, this is something we're going to probably do every day. I'll try to make it like, you know, if a stud pops off like McDavid, right? He had 4 points last night. He picked up point number 698, 699, 700, and 701 for his career. He's got 701 points in 488 games. Like, what an absolute freak. He is just touching the peak of his prime. My goodness. So we'll always probably have like a stud. You know, missing on this board is David Pastrnak, who also had a 4-point night, but he didn't have a hat trick. He had a goal. His shot prop cleared in the first period, though. We love that. Pasta for sure. And then I'll try to include like a waiver wire guy too. And that would be Lehkonen. You know, 2 goals, 3 points last night, 3 shots on goal. All 3 of his points were on the power play. He's got 16 goals and 24 points in 37 games as a member of the Colorado Avalanche, dating back to the postseason as well, playing on the top line, playing on the first power play unit. Just a really good player that we had in the draft kit as an undervalued slash sleeper. And then Cole Caulfield is a breakout candidate. He had 2 goals last night on 5 shots. We had his shot prop as well. We probably won't get 2.5 anymore for Cole. He's a guy who really, really loves to shoot the puck. 24 goals, 37 points in 38 games with Martin St. Louis. I don't think he's a point per game player, but he is playing to that with St. Louis because his ice time went from 14 minutes a game with Dom Ducharme to 18 minutes a game. You know, definite first power play, first line. And Nick Suzuki is a pass first guy, and he is always looking Cole Caulfield's way. So we'll take a quick break here. We see some people hanging out. Albert's in the house. Phil, Mike, the streets are mean. What's up with Melvin Gordon being what is this? SERP? What's that word? Usurped? I don't know. It's a new one for me. By Latavius. Latavius is a guy we talked about on the show. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a crowded backfield as early as this week with Mike Boone sprinkled in as well. We'll take a quick break from the hockey talk. We'll bring in Brian Cook. We'll talk tonight's football game, take a look at week 6, and Neil is hanging by as well. So we'll be back for the hockey fans here on Mean Streets. Usurped. Gotcha. Gotcha, Phil. We appreciate you. Hey, dude, I can't read. I can't speak. I'm just here to talk sports, and we'll do it after the break. Hang tight. Welcome back in. We got our guy, Brian Cook, in the house, 5_4_6. We missed you last week, dude, so we're happy to have you back here on the show to preview a barn burner tonight, Thursday night football, Chicago Bears and the Washington Commanders. You know, we missed you last week, as I mentioned, but chatting back and forth in the Discord on the Thursday night football game last week, you actually nailed it. You called the Colts. I thought the Broncos were going to win that game. I don't really want to waste time talking about Russell Wilson again, but we do have another primetime game with Russell Wilson this week on Monday Night Football against the Chargers. But good on you for calling that game. And of course, for those that are unfamiliar with Brian, just stumbling across the show, he does some great work over at FTN for us, covering some data and things like that. Maybe you got a sneak peek for us. But tonight, Bears and Commanders. Mm-hmm. I know you're going to watch. Yep. because I know how hardcore you are, but we did see a comment from Phil here earlier in the house. He said, it's just nice to take a night off of fantasy and watch none of my players in Commanders versus Bears. So that's not bad, right? If you don't have anybody from this game, you can just sit back and watch, and hopefully we can see some action. What do you think?
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting to see what happens because you got pretty much the battle of the beatens, right? Justin Fields has been playing underwhelming. And it's weird because Washington has so many guys that you would think would make them, you know, formidable. But with that being said, it's just like they can't put it together. You know what I mean? I mean, that receiving core is dynamic. So I actually have Curtis Samuel on my fantasy team, so I will be tuning in to see if he can continue to do what he's been doing all year. But, oh, boy, it's going to be a sight for sore eyes tonight.
It might be. So, Tyler, check this up for us. I think some things have changed a little bit in terms of the matchup. It's basically a pick 'em. We have a total here at 38.5. This game, of course, happening in Chicago. Use our prop shop parlay calculator to get the best possible odds. So this is the matchups for the week. I don't know if you have the matchup for tonight. It's all good if you don't. But yeah, like I said, it's a pick 'em. If you're backing the Bears on the money line, you can get plus 100 over at Unibet. And if you're backing the Commanders, you can get minus 112 over at FanDuel for the best possible odds. And as I mentioned, 38. I'm seeing some 38s there, 38.5. And then the spread is just, as I mentioned, it's a pick 'em here, right? So you're just better off taking whatever team you think on the money line. But what are some things you're looking for? This is some people in this chat, right? I think Fields might surprise some people. This team is not... They don't even really want to throw the football, right? They want to run, which I think we all knew would happen heading in, right? Just new coaching staff, you know, two running backs that are good in Montgomery and Khalil Herbert, you know, a rushing quarterback in Fields. They really didn't do anything to help him in the offseason, right? They didn't sign any weapons. The guy they drafted was Velus Jones. I mean, he showed up. He had a touchdown last week. That's great. He hasn't shown us a whole lot. Like, Dante Pettis, Equanimeous St. Brown, right? We like Mooney as a player. I do anyways. He's starting to trend up. And Cole Kmet is a guy who's definitely wrong on. I thought he'd get a lot more looks and targets and catches. He's been very quiet. And I don't know if Washington's going to be able to push the pace for Fields to have another or a game with like 30 dropbacks. Is probably he's passing yard props like a buck 67, dude.
It makes sense. And you talk about Cole Kmet. I think one of the biggest things that I've noticed in you know, developing quarterbacks and quarterbacks that struggle are these quarterbacks that when they want to get on pace or when offenses put the right guys around them or they have more of a success with young guys, it's usually because they have a strong tight end, and that's their pacifier in a lot of cases. So for them not to be using Cole Kmet, who is a solid tight end, is a little bit alarming to me. In the past game, I would think that he would get more, see more, and there'd be more production there. But yeah, I mean, just like you said, man, this is going to be one of those games where we don't really know what they're going to do. The Bears, we know they're going to try to establish a run, but I mean, their passing game is just not there yet. So I'm not really sure how you would want to combat that, really. If you're Washington, obviously probably blitz the mess out of Justin Fields, right? So if they do pass, he gets it out quick and you got solid corners on the other side. You should be able to make some plays. We don't know what's going to happen. It shouldn't be that great of a game, or it could be a shootout because both teams just don't play any defense, right? So you never know, really.
Would you buy low on Mooney from a fantasy standpoint? His last two games, you know, 10 targets, 6 grabs. He had 94 yards week 4 against the Giants. He had 52 yards last week. His first couple games, I mean, he had 8 yards and -4. I'm looking ahead at the schedule, and there's not a lot of like teams that I feel will test them where they'll have to throw the football. You know, you got Washington this week, at New England next week, I guess at Dallas week 8. You know, if Dak's healthy, that could be a game where we see, you know, Fields throw the football a little bit more. Miami, Detroit, Atlanta, the Jets. Like, these are actually games that Chicago may be able to just kind of hang around, play that slow pace, you know, outside runs and things like that. You got Green Bay week 13, but it's just such a long ways away. You know, if you had Darnell Mooney on your squad, would you look to maybe sell high after a couple decent games? Would you look maybe for him to have a game tonight against Washington? You mentioned the defense. This is a team that's given up a lot of passing yards so far this season. Or are you just like, you know what? If I don't have Mooney, it's not the end of the world. But if you did want him, and if you are a fan and you think it's going to, you know, progress for him, uptick, you could get him for cheap. I mean, he's widely available. You may be on your waiver wire.
Yeah, I would say too, like, that's one of those guys that by default, he's going to have to get a lot of targets, right? He's going to, if they pass the ball, he's going to have to get a lot of.
All right, live television here, folks. I don't know really what happened. Our apologies. We just got cut off there. Maybe that's a sign. Maybe you just don't want to turn on Mooney. Poor guy. Here's a question as you guys are just catching back up with us here. Let me just timestamp and away we go. Block number three now. We got Brian Cook, Chris Meany here in the house. Reese is here. He says, Mooney or Elijah Moore rest of the season? Which wide receiver would you rather have?
So this is a good one. And I actually did a study on this today. I tweeted it today, nice. But I'm an Elijah Moore guy. And the reason why is because the target share that the Jets have amongst their top three wide receivers is top five. I did a report earlier on the top five teams that have, the lowest target share differential between their three receivers. So surprisingly, Green Bay, Kansas City, Tampa Bay were in the top three. Also, the Jets. The Jets were number two, actually, of all of the five teams that I saw. And that's just saying that they spread the ball around a lot. Elijah Moore's going to get his. And I think that that's a big thing, especially for how much they pass the ball. And then, you know, Mooney, I'm just not really sold on him. Yes, he's going to probably get the most targets of the share. But with that being said, they want to run the ball anyway. So, I'm not a big Mooney guy anyway in terms of production. He's really a glorified number two or three receiver, you know, in a perfect world. So he's being forced to be the number one guy, and it's not really him. So
no, I agree. It isn't really him. I like him. I mean, he had a nice little grab last week, but it certainly is a run heavy offense. Guys, if you have any questions, now's the time. Let's finish previewing this game, then we can get to those questions and maybe a couple games that you are looking at for week six as well. So do you have anything to add on the Washington side of things? I mean, Curtis Samuel has been great. Now we have a complete committee in the backfield, right? But Antonio Gibson's snap counts have just gone in the wrong direction. Yeah. You know, he was in the doghouse before the season started. Brian Robinson Jr., you know, made his NFL debut last week, and, you know, he had more carries than him. Gibson really hardly touched the rock, you know, running the ball. JD McKissick it looks like he's just kept that third down role, passing down role, 2-minute drill role that he had last year and the year before. How do you see this playing out, this backfield? Do you have major concerns about Antonio Gibson's role in this squad?
Yeah, I think the concerns lie in the fact that JD McKissick is always been their third down or sub package back. And so for Antonio Gibson to take that spot with the way that he's been playing, he's going to have to really showcase something. What works in his favor, and I mean, it might be too late, but what works in his favor is in Memphis, he was a receiver anyway. So yeah. He should be, in my opinion, right? You would think he'd be the better sub down back, but you never really know. And then Brian Robinson Jr. is just, I think he's going to get more carries. He's a strong runner. You know, that was his first week back, and they gave him the load. So I would venture to see how he's going to do the rest of the year. But I think he's going to be the premier guy there. And then, you know, Antonio Gibson will get in where he fits in that offense.
Yeah, for example, like just looking at Vegas and some of our projections, you know, included in the FTN fantasy package, if you want to be part of the family, of course you can. We'll be with you throughout the entire season. We have links inside of the description of this video to join our package, and projections are there, rankings and things like that. But I was looking at Vegas odds. I mean, they know what they're doing, right? They build huge buildings in Vegas for a reason. And we have Robinson at 11.5, 12.5 carries, some books. That's what Vegas has. And then, you know, his rushing yard props around 46, 47.5. And for Gibson, they have no rushing attempts at all. And his rushing yard props at 19.5. But you're right. He was a wide receiver converted running back. Maybe that's why, you know, Ron Rivera doesn't like his style, the way he runs, like a bit of a stutter step. He's not a prototypical running back, right? He's done a great job in that role over the past couple of years, but they drafted Robinson, I believe, in the fourth round. Clearly, Ron Rivera had an idea of what kind of running back he wanted to be first and second down. And I think he's an option to score here tonight. You know, there was somebody here who mentioned props. I have a couple, Brian, that I'll share with you and see if you like these or not. It was Steve Robinson in the house. What's the best go-to prop tonight? Tyler, if you want to chuck them up, I think it's Montgomery, right? I think it's David Montgomery. And I like his receiving yards here tonight.
Yeah.
So we have the tracker at 14.5, but it's currently now live at 15.5. He returned last week. He had four targets, four grabs, 62 receiving yards. He's averaging 25 receiving yards this season. He's got 10 targets and 9 catches, which are second on the team, believe it or not. And he missed a game. And then I have his catch prop there at 2.5 at +130. Again, this is something that he is, he's had 14 plus receiving yards in his full 3 games. You know, he left one game and then last week, you know, he came back, and it was really Khalil Herbert. Talk to me about this backfield, because Herbert's proved that he could be the guy, but when Montgomery's there, he's definitely the lead, right? And I expect that to continue today. Like, Herbert's a tough guy to start when Montgomery's active.
Yeah, and in no means am I saying this in terms of these are the same two players, but you get a lot of the Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt feel with those two guys. And not in terms of, you know, they're as good as those players, because they're not. Let's be honest, they're not.
Yeah.
But the idea I think that Chicago is trying to employ is similar to what Cleveland tries to employ, what they do. And the one thing that I will say in terms of David Montgomery and his prop is one thing that Chicago does, and this is plays a huge role in pacing, is screen passes. They do a lot of screens. They like to get those guys involved on quick dink and dunks, get them out in space, get blockers in front of them. So I could see him getting 3 catches and all 3 of them being screens, right? You never really know. But with that being said, yeah. And then Herbert comes in and he's going to be that guy who's the one cut, get downhill, you know, that type of player, where Montgomery is more of a mix of both. I'd say he's more of a patient back rather than he is a one cut guy. So you get 2 different dynamics. That's why they use them the way that they do. And honestly, I like it. If they just had a better line and a couple more weapons in the receiver side, they would be really, really good, in my opinion. So
it's hard to go to like any Mooney or Kmet props. It's just really tough, right? As I said earlier, I don't think Washington's going to be able to push the pace, but just to kind of bring that up again. So you saw on that board, it was 2.5 grabs and 14.5 receiving yards dating back to last season as well. It's a number that he cleared in 6 of his final regular season, or 6 of his final 7 regular season games. Some big totals here, dude, too. 17, 61, 23, 39, 51, 28 receiving yards. He had at least 3 catches in 5 of those games. He had a 4-game stretch where he had 8 grabs on 9 targets, 6 on 7 targets, 5 on 6 targets, and 7 on 9 targets again as well. So it's a bit of a it's not just this year. It's a larger sample size dating back to last year. Basically same, different coaching staff, but same kind of personnel. Like nobody really outside of Mooney to catch the ball. So we do like Montgomery. You're on Curtis Samuel. You've had to be pleasantly surprised. And did you draft him? Was he a hot waiver wire pickup for you?
Yeah, I drafted him late. And for me, I think the thing that I saw when he was in Carolina, which is what I thought they were going to try to do in Washington, was they just put him all over the field. They're going to find a way to get him touches, whether it's him running the ball, whether it's him catching it, whether it's him getting a screen out of the backfield, whatever it may be. So that was kind of my thought process behind grabbing him, was, hey, if they're smart, if Washington's smart, they use him similarly or the same way. They got enough guys on the outside, right? They can put him in the slot and they can put him in other places and find ways to get him the ball. And yeah, I won't say that I'm super surprised. I think I'm more surprised at what he's been able to do with his opportunities, you know, coming off of the injuries. But I'm not surprised at the fact that he's gotten the opportunities. I knew he was going to get them.
Yeah, I mean, he's playing more snaps and running just as many routes as Terry McLaurin. Like, he is clearly Wentz's guy here through the first few games. He's had 6-plus grabs in 4 of his 5, and the one game that he didn't was against Dallas, and the Cowboys were just all over Carson Wentz. I mean, we can sit here and say that the Cowboys' defense is absolutely legit. They can dial up some pressure, and Parsons looks like an absolute beast in the NFL. And they gave Wentz a hard time, but he had a game last week, 8 targets, 6 grabs, 62 yards, so he liked that 4.5. Steve says an interception today, sense of urgency, prime time. He doesn't think Carson Wentz will throw that much. I do have him for a pick, though. He's got a pick in at least 1 pick in 4 of his 5 games, and he's got 6 interceptions on the season. I did go with Mooney here at 45.5 receiving yards. If you're just going to pick one prop from this board, I would rank him like Montgomery receiving yards, then Curtis Samuel catches, then Montgomery catches, and then into Mooney. So it's been a couple decent games. You know, if it's just 45.5, right? It seems like such a small number, but he is targeted deep down the field. Using some of our free tools, ADOT, air yards, target share, things like that. You see Mooney with a, you know, a high A dot over the past couple seasons. So he could do this on one grab, two grabs. Before we move on quickly from this game, Daily Handle says Kmet over 27.5 receiving yards. I'd just stay away. You know, it's just, it just seems like a high number, too high of a number for a team that really is running the football and a guy in Montgomery who's second on the team in catches and like almost first on the team in receiving yards is crazy. What did you think about the comments from Ron Rivera when the reporter, did you see the reporter when they asked about the NFC East? So the reporter in Washington, a reporter in Washington asked Ron Rivera about the division inside the NFC East. You know, the Eagles are off to a great start. The Cowboys are off to a great start. The Giants as well. And asked what was the issue in Washington. I'm kind of paraphrasing. And Ron Rivera said, quarterback. And there was awkward silence forever. And then the reporter said, well, you know, Dallas is doing it without Dak and Cooper Rush. The Giants are getting it done with Daniel Jones and no weapons to pass to. So what's the issue here in Washington? And Ron Rivera, basically, he just threw Wentz under the bus. Like he said, he's had some moments, you know, he's played okay this season, but he needs to be better.
Yeah.
And I get the comment like quarterback, but the defense hasn't played great this season. The defense didn't play great last year. It's not all on Wentz. But I, on the flip side, this Wentz is like the 13th different quarterback they've had since they let go of Kirk Cousins. Clearly, quarterback has been an issue. I want to ask you if that was a fair comment. I know you didn't hear it all. I'm throwing a lot at you. And how long is this leash, or how short is the leash for Wentz? Like, when do we see how? When does that move happen? And it could happen pretty quickly, couldn't it?
Yeah, I think tonight's going to be a big, big test in terms of what Wentz does. I mean, last game, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think he threw an intercept. Oh, he did at the end of the game.
Just at the end with the game on the line. But he had a pretty good game, though, dude.
He did.
I thought he played pretty good.
I think actually the pick, because I believe I watched that, it was a bad pick. I don't think he needed to make the throw there. I'm almost positive he didn't. This is 4 or 5 days ago, so my memory's a little bit shot. But
no, you're spot on.
Yeah, and so you know what I mean? Like, Ron Rivera's comments, he's an old school guy. Nowadays, you get a lot of players, coaches that are like, hey, you know, we're not going to throw our guys under the bus. Ron Rivera is an old school guy. He very much believes in accountability. If you're not pulling your weight, he's going to let you know. He's a defensive guy as well. So I think that his leash for the offense is a little bit shorter than what he might do for the defense. But that being said, the defense has underwhelmed, and it has for the last couple of years. It's underwhelmed with some of the moves they've made and the people that they've had. But I think that the NFC East in general is playing good because it's not just quarterback play. These offensive coordinators are doing a great job of getting guys the ball that need to get the ball and doing it at the right situations and times. And that's one thing that I can't really say for Washington. You know, I don't think that they're doing a great job with that just right now. You know, they have a lot of weapons on the outside. I mean, yeah, Carson Wentz is not playing the greatest, but you got to switch something up then. You got to find easier, quicker, you know, more efficient ways to get those guys the ball. And now you got, I won't say a mess in the backfield, but, you know, Antonio Gibson can't be happy, right? You know, with what's going on, they have a lot of questions that they need to answer. And I think that's probably the biggest thing. A lot of these other teams have answered the questions that need to be answered, and they're sticking with what they do, and they're doing it well. And that's why the NFC East is surprising everybody this year. You know,
it really is absolutely surprising, right? To see those three teams up at the top. Last week they were the only division to have three teams with three wins, and now they have, you know, still undefeated Eagles and 4 wins for the boys and the Giants. All right, that's it from tonight's game. I mean, do you have a side? Which side would you lean? Who do you think wins this game?
I do. Oh, this is tough. It's hard for me because I think that on one end I want to pick Washington because I do think Carson Wentz will play good tonight. And they have the guys that should beat that Chicago defense. But, I mean, Chicago, for what it's worth, they handled business for the most part. When it comes to winning games, they're 2-3. I didn't think they'd be 2-3 at this point. You know, they find a way to do it. So, if I'm going to pick a squad, I'm going to go ahead and go Chicago. I think that Washington has just too much stuff going on right now with that organization. Dan Snyder's in the news as well. It's like, there's just too much going on right now.
I know. I'm with you. I'm on the Bears too. I think it's the Bears. Look for Montgomery to potentially have a good game and maybe a Brian Robinson breakout. If I'm calling touchdowns, I'd say maybe a Justin Fields rushing touchdown or a Brian Robinson rushing touchdown. We don't have much time. Let's chuck up the board for Brian though. If there's a game that you want to talk about, one that you're looking forward to, I always like to hear your thoughts on this. You see the four teams on bye. Is there a matchup or two that jumps out on the page? Something that you're looking for this weekend?
Yeah, I think that the biggest one, obviously, is Bills-Chiefs. The biggest two are Bills-Chiefs and Eagles and what Cowboys. Yeah, those are the two biggest ones, obviously, for obvious reasons. But I think the one that I actually do want to see is going to be Jets and Packers. And for the reasons that I stated before, yes, the Jets are exceeding some expectations. By now, a lot of people picked them to not even have won a game yet. So they found a way to get a couple wins. And the Packers right now, I mean, that loss to the Giants, given the Giants are playing well, it's a little bit of a surprise. It really is with how strong that defense is and how Aaron Rodgers spreads the ball around. I just wouldn't expect them to have lost last week. So I want to see if the Jets can continue to take steps in the right direction. They have a dangerous running back room right now, especially with Breece Hall. And they spread the ball around. Like I said, they're number two in target differential. So everybody's getting a chance to make a play. And that's, you know, Joe Flacco and Zach Wilson are doing a decent job doing that. So want to see if they can take that next step and beat a contender and put themselves on the map, so to speak.
Man, could you imagine the tabloids in Green Bay area if they lose to the Jets and the Giants in back-to-back weeks?
Yeah, I mean, it would be nuts.
I think the Jets are going to hang. I think they're going to hang around. Really like what I've seen from Breece Hall. He's trending up in the right direction. You mentioned those weapons. I would like to see Green Bay run the rock a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Use those two backs and run. It's like Rodgers. Rodgers, you have nothing else to prove. You don't. Like, why are you chucking it 40 times? Like use these backs, run the rock. They're playing at a bit of a slow pace. You know, even Dylan and Jones last week were really efficient running between the tackles, but they just didn't get a lot of touches. And the game on the line at 3rd and 2, I thought they'd hand it off to Dylan on one of those plays, and it was both, you know, passing and Rodgers not getting on the same page with some of his weapons and batted down. But credit to Daboll and the Giants and what they're doing as well. Mm-hmm. Like, we're seeing some teams that, you know, heading into the season, nobody had really high expectations for the Giants or the Jets or the Jags, but we're seeing these teams kind of hang around, and it's refreshing. Always refreshing to chat to you, my guy, Brian Cook, 5_4_6. We'll chop it up again next week. Thanks guys for taking the time to hang out. We'll say goodbye to Brian for now, and we will break and bring in Neil Parker. More football talk, Eagles, Cowboys, and some NHL talk as well on Mean Streets. Keep it locked. Welcome back in. There he is, my guy, Neil Parker. Neil Parker Betts on the Twitter machine. You can catch him over at Sportsbook Review, sports betting analyst. As I said off the top, Neil, good buddy of mine, always a soft spot in my heart, man. Every time we get together, we get to talk some sports together on Anthem Sports Entertainment. We can go back 10 years ago, you and I over in Toronto, Anthem Sports Entertainment, chopping up just like we will do now. Let's save the hockey talk for a little bit. We were just talking football with Brian. He was looking forward to the Cowboys and the Eagles matchup tonight. Didn't really get to this weekend, we didn't really get to dive into it. I know the Cowboys are close to your heart. The Eagles are close to mine. We'll put the biases aside a little bit. But when we were together last week with Pat Mayo, we were doing a little golf charity. You and I chatted about the Cowboys defense. We were like, why are the Rams favored as much as they are? And what did we see? Much as what we've seen all year, the Cowboys defense, absolutely legit. No Dak this week. Cooper Rush again. What do you think of this matchup? Eagles are favored by 6 at the link.
Yeah, I mean, I've been lucky enough to cash in those Cowboys money line tickets the last 2 weeks. I'm not quite as confident this week, Chris, obviously. Third road game in 4 weeks for the Cowboys. Tough trip up to Philly, and it's at night, might be cold. You know, it's not a great lean for me for my Cowboys, but I'm going to give them a puncher's chance. I'm going to tune in. I'm going to root them on, man, and I hope we can pull it off. And then I guess, realistically, that would be first place in the division with a win, right?
Crazy. Like, here the Eagles are off to this fantastic start, but if they lose this week, and clearly that would mean a Dallas win and the Giants find a way to win, all of a sudden three teams up at the top just like that. But good for maybe two of those three teams to maybe punch their ticket in the playoffs, because we're looking across the league, some question marks in Tampa, even though they're finding ways to win. The Rams, as we mentioned, don't look all that great on offense. The offensive line doesn't look good. The Packers, you know, tough loss to the Giants last week. And it's not going to be easy, I don't think, against the Jets. They're kind of hanging around with some teams. I think your boys will cover. I jumped on it early, 5.5. I see 6 now. I think it's going to be a tight game, man. I think, you know, it's Dallas's defense has just been so good. Like, talk to me about Parsons. Like, this guy is a generational talent.
Yeah, for sure. I was lucky to grab a future this summer on him for most sacks. I probably should have gone defensive player of the year, but the odds were better for the sacks. But anyway, it's something I'm tracking. I just feel like they really put him in situations to succeed and allow his athleticism to take over. And that's so important, right? I do worry a little bit that he won't be as effective this week. I do really appreciate the talent and the blocking on the offensive line for the Eagles, obviously. And it's just a really well-rounded team. It's really hard to find a weakness with the Eagles. And so, again, I can see them hanging around. I absolutely agree. But if it does turn into a shootout or it does turn into a high-scoring game, I really don't anticipate the Cowboys having the firepower to keep up. I mean, Cooper Rush is protecting the football. But if the Cowboys don't win that turnover battle, then they're even further behind, in my opinion. And I really don't anticipate them putting up big numbers against the Eagles defense. Who knows? Maybe that changes. But we're going to need some explosive plays. And I haven't seen a whole lot of that from them, really, especially through the passing game. And against good teams, right? That's the big thing.
Say, like, Cooper Rush has done a really good job, and he's undefeated dating back to last year. I mean, he's never lost, obviously, as a starter. That's great. But, you know, in those games that they've won on their defense. And if they had Dak, I mean, they're probably winning by, you know, a couple scores. So it's nice, though, that they're, you know, treading water for sure until Dak gets – until Dak gets back and healthy, and they haven't been able to, no need to rush him back with winning some of those games. Tyler, check up this, the week 6 board, matchup board. So we left Cowboys and Eagles off just so we can talk about them. Is there a matchup here that you're looking for? Is there a pick that you like early or just a game that's really intriguing in your opinion?
I've got a couple, Chris, that I identified earlier in the week. First, I jumped on the Buccaneers right away. This is Tom Brady finding his form against Kenny Pickett. And the Bucs defense is obviously strong. And even with that showing against Kansas City, where they weren't as effective, they still have the third ranked defense by DOA and third highest coverage grade by PFF. So I really don't anticipate Kenny Pickett having a whole lot of success. And Brady has the highest success rate in the league the last 2 weeks. So he seems to be finding his form with those receivers. And I just don't think that, one, the Pittsburgh Steelers can keep pace, and two, like, stop Tom Brady and the Bucs offense. So, like, you know, and let's just, I mean, to cement it, TJ Watt's out and the Pittsburgh secondary is also banged up. And so they're going to have multiple starters either out or playing at less than 100%. And that puts them even further behind the eight ball.
Yeah, it does. And I know some people are calling for Mike Tomlin's job. I think that's kind of ludicrous. Like, the guy's basically been 500 his whole career. And we've seen other teams have losing seasons when they've lost their franchise quarterback, right? Tom Brady, Bill Belichick. This, you know, Big Ben was clearly near the end of his career, but it's a big change, right? When you lose a guy like Big Ben and you're starting with Trubisky and you're going to Kenny Pickett, it's not a big surprise to see the Steelers struggle on offense. I know Tomlin's made some interesting choices, like play calling and things like that over the past couple weeks, but I don't think he's in any danger of losing his job. What else here is Chiefs and Bills should be fantastic, right? Mahomes is a dog at home for the first time in his NFL career. We have the highest total on the slate. That should be an interesting game. I don't know if we should even bother to talk about Russ and the Broncos, another primetime game, but is there anything else here on this list that catches your eye?
Yeah, the other outlier that stood out for me was the Ravens and Giants, and that's just because the Giants have faced such an easy schedule and the Ravens have faced such a difficult schedule. The Giants probably should have lost last week in London, let's be honest. And so, you know, that's more the Packers beat themselves. They're in the second half, didn't come to play. So, trip back home. Ravens, obviously, coming off a little bit of a short week too, but I just really like their overall team, and I don't expect the Giants to be able to contend with Lamar Jackson. Ravens third in DVOA, sixth in PFF overall grade versus the Giants at 18th and 31st respectively, right? Ravens sixth toughest schedule so far, as I mentioned, Giants ninth easiest by DVOA, right? So that's where I'm coming out from that one. I just think that eventually sometimes we get so focused that just take a step back and
right.
six weeks ago, would we have given the Giants any chance to pull this off? Or, you know, they potentially could have even been double digit underdogs, right? So that's just my take on that one. And I really do anticipate the Ravens having a strong showing.
Yeah. And credit to Daboll, what he's done, right? I mean, if you're a Giants fan, you have to be just as ecstatic of what you've seen, not just the record, but the play calling, right? He's got guys in motion. I mean, last year, just with Garrett there and Judge, these guys like quarterback sneak on their own third and eight, like just like crazy things that we saw last year. They couldn't get Saquon going. It was just, there was no creativity at all in their offense. And I've seen it so far this year, but Tyler chimes in and says Lamar is 12-0 against NFC teams in his career. I did not know that. So even better to back the Ravens, but I'm definitely
nice trend.
Yeah. Nice trend. That's a good one. Yeah. We'll take that one, Tyler. Yeah. I like the Ravens as well. And I think like the Ravens should be able to push the pace and score some points. We'll have to see Jones throw the football and just like, he's just lacking so many weapons. It can't just be all Saquon. They're going to have to get some healthy bodies in there eventually. Neil, you got some hockey picks for us, some props. Hang tight. We'll break. We'll come back. It's a busy night in the NHL schedule, 10 games on the ice. Neil's got some shot props that he likes, and we'll wrap up the show with a couple other props as well on the ice. So keep her locked. We'll be back in a couple. Chris Meany and Neil Parker. Twitter handle is Neil Parker Betts. So I think he's got some NHL props for us tonight. We have 10 games, dude, on the ice. It's a lot to kind of break down, but you got a couple shot props that you like. I got a couple in the next block I'll share, but let you have the mic. What's your first one here, dude?
Right away, Chris Kreider, over 2.5. I mean, he's coming off his career high shots and shot attempts last season. He paced the Rangers in both. And then in the opener, he had 5 shots and 8 attempts again. So it's hovering right around even money, which is always a plus when I'm looking for shot props and shopping around for shot props. So definitely like Kreider today at that close price. And then the second one is Alex Tuck. Everybody loves the Ottawa Senators. They made great moves. That's fantastic. Yeah. But I'm not looking – I guess I'm not anticipating their, you know, possession metrics to all of a sudden be fantastic. They're still going to give up plenty of shot attempts. They're still going to be, you know, a team to pick on in these markets. And Tuck was plus money, right? He went over 2.5 his total tonight in 9 of 15 final games last year. And he finished third on the Sabres in shot attempts per 60 minutes for the season. And I know he's a player that you really like too, Chris. I mean, he's just shoots the puck.
he loves to shoot the puck. And, you know, he just didn't get that opportunity in Vegas, right? He's kind of buried on the third line, second power play unit. You know, throughout the playoffs, we saw him sometimes in a top six role, but right away in Buffalo, like we just saw an increase in ice time, power play time. He's a fan favorite of Buffalo. I can tell. Like, I mean, he's from the area. He's embraced, you know, coming there and, you know, getting time, whether it's with Tage Thompson or Skinner on the second line. He's going to be on that first power play. I think you said it perfectly. Everybody loves the Senators, myself included. I like the moves, right? You bring in the Brink guy. He's a 2-time 40-goal scorer. You got nice young players in Drake Batherson and Josh Norris. You got a banger and Brady Tkachuk. Claude Giroux bringing a veteran. He's going to help the power play. Shabbat on the back end. But who else do they have? Right? It's like they're very weak defensively. They're going to give up a lot of rubber. I'm with you. I think we see a lot of goals in that game. 6.5 is a high number, but I think we'll see 6 or 7 goals maybe combined from those two guys. Did you have a third one you wanted to share? Of course, I love the Tuck one. It's fantastic.
Yeah, well, I'm going a little bit further, even deeper in the odds in Miro Heiskanen for the Stars. So he projects to take over the quarterback role, the number one power play unit with John Klingberg gone. And when I was digging deep, Chris, with the statistics, I mean, last year, Klingberg led the Stars in shot attempts per 60 minutes with the man advantage. So clearly that's a setup, that's a plan for the Stars to attack with the man advantage. And some of those shot attempts are obviously going to carry over for Heiskanen. And Miro's the man, right? It was plus 158. So. Wow. To go over 2.5. So for me, and when I'm shopping for props, shot props, Chris, I'm really looking for plus money. Your winning percentage doesn't have to be as high, and you're often charged a way higher vig for brand name players. You know, if you want to get Alex Ovechkin over 4.5, it's going to have a healthy vig, and you're going to, you really have to pack together some winners, and it's the NHL, it's hockey. All it takes is a couple hit posts, couple block shots, and next thing you know, he's got two shots on the night.
Exactly. Yeah. I didn't think some people are getting into NHL shot props in our Discord. Like, wait, Matthews hit the crossbar last night. That didn't count as a shot. Wait, why? And that's just a conversation for another day, but you're right. You hit a post or two, you go high off the glass. It's like, oh my goodness. Like Pasternak's great, but you're paying at minus 150 for Pasternak. We don't have much time. We got to get out of here, but I really like the Ducks power play with Klingberg and McTavish and the kids last night. And I think, you know, both defensemen like Klingberg will benefit from being away from Heiskanen and vice versa. Heiskanen will benefit being away from Klingberg. He'll quarterback that power play. It's a pretty good one in Dallas. Neil, fantastic, man. Appreciate you jumping on. Neil's going to be a regular, I hope, on this show as well. Neil Parker Betts on the Twitter machine, sports betting analyst over at Sportsbook Review. Check out all of his content. You will not regret it. We got a couple more picks to wrap up. Mean Streets. Have a good one, Neil. We'll be back.
Thanks,
in a couple.
Chris.
Cheers, buddy. Welcome back, guys. Going to rapid fire through this final block. Really just wanted to give time to our guests and Neil and Brian, more so than listening to me ramble. The Joker, I would go with Jeff Wilson over Dave Montgomery. It's really close because it's a full point PPR league, but I would play Jeff Wilson, and I think you're locked and loaded with Ramondre as your RB1. I got him ranked as an RB1 top 12 running back this week in a really good spot against the Browns. Here's a couple shot props, and I got some point props as well. Going to have a whole lot more in the FTN bet tracker. Tyler, if you want to chuck up the shot props, I do believe we got Thomas Chabot on there, who has cleared 2.5 and 13 of his final 17 games dating back to last season. We have Kevin Hayes on there as well, who has cleared a 12 of his 15 games dating back to last season. There we go. Matthew Tkachuk, good number here. Tough matchup against the Islanders, but I do like Tkachuk. He's going to get a lot of time, power play as well. A couple parlays there because these guys are juice. Hughes and DeBrincat and Kempe and Marchessault. And then quickly, as we get out of here, the points prop, if you have it. Chabot, Marner assists, Lehkonen point, 24 points in 37 games with the Avs. Kessel was really impressed with him on the top line with Jack Eichel. And I think Hughes and DeBrincat find the back of the net. Good luck tonight. Football picks, NHL picks, and we'll be back tomorrow. Have a good one. Cheers.